If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street. If you don't know where that is, you're not alone. We are not necessarily on the well-beaten path, but geographically speaking, we are two blocks north of 520 and two blocks west of Courtney Parkway on Merritt Island. So that's the easiest way to locate us. We're on the corners of Grove and Tangerine, but we're on 91.5 FM Monday through Friday, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening. You can find us right here. If you miss us at that point in time, we relocate at 10:30 of a morning to WWBC 1510 AM. And if you miss that, you can always go to WMIEFM.com and do the on-demand feature, which is at the very bottom of the page, and type in the date. And voila, you can find us anywhere in the world that you are. You can find the message that we share on that day. You can download it to your electronic device and listen to it later. However you choose to listen to us, we are greatly appreciative of that and do want to invite you out. If you are looking for a place where you can fit in, where you can worship God, where you can learn, where you can grow, and where you can serve, where you can be a blessing to those around you, that's what we strive to be at Merit Assembly of God. So, today we are going to go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Just so I can set the stage for you here a little bit. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah at this point in time, and he is under attack. There's armies that are gathering against him. Not unusual in that era of time. There was wars that were constantly going on and things like that. In fact, in David's life, it said in the springtime when kings go off to war, it was kind of an annual event that took place. The reason that they would go off to war in the springtime is that's when the crops would be growing and there would be food that they could appropriate along the way so that they wouldn't starve. A lot of the battles that took place were not just for domain, it was for the food production that went on. And so you would see that with Gideon, where the Midianites would come in. And so he found a little bit of grain and he was threshing it in the wine press. So there were a lot of battles. But in this particular case, Jehoshaphat decided that he was going to set himself to seek the Lord. That in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 3. That's always a good thing to do. Because whenever you start praying and you start asking God about the situation that deals with your enemies, you're going to find that he tells his covenant people, look, this battle is not yours, it's mine. And so we spent some time talking about the battle involves enemies, and we also talked about the battle involves strategy. Now, Jehoshaphat, in his case, he is instructed to follow a strategy that didn't make a lot of military sense. The strategy was, you just put yourself in position and you watch, and I'm going to deliver the victory. And so that's what he did. Another king had been told that, I want you to put your worship team out on the very front. And he asked another question. He said, who's going to engage the battle? And he said, you are. Who are we going to send? You're going to send your young ones, your young provincial leaders. You're going to put them out at the front. And I, you know, most worshipers that I know, I was, my wife and I, we were watching a preaching video that we had DVR'd. And this particular speaker was talking about David was a warrior, but David was also a worshiper. I want you to know that that's a pretty diverse skill set that's combined in one person. Most people that are warriors really aren't too much in the way of worship. And so you will find that it is a bit of a challenge to get men to engage in worship in many churches. Guys, I want you to know it is not sacrificing your masculinity to worship God. It is a recognition of the worth of God. That's what worship means. It's a conjunction that was originally worth-ship. It combined that into worship. And so you ascribe the glory. You're well familiar with celebrating when your sports team does well. You've got no problems with that. I watched a video some time back of a lady in her interviewing her husband and said, how much did you spend on golf? And he said, it was very, very pricey. I will tell you that. And how much did you spend in the pro shop? And he'd spent a lot of money in the pro shop. And then he said, but it was TPC Sawgrass. And, she was trying to, but for him, I don't know if that's a once in a lifetime experience. I've been there. I've played golf there. I've got some of their shirts. I didn't buy them. Somebody else gave them to me. But for him, it was like, it was worth it. And the other thing that I thought when that was going on is I wonder what things that lady has in her life that where she doesn't recognize golfing at TPC Sawgrass as being worth it. She's got other things in her life that are worth that same sort of financial thing. It might not happen all at once, but it might happen incrementally. So I've heard a story one time about a husband and a wife, and the wife was constantly spending money on little things. And one day the husband decided to go out and he was going to buy something very expensive. And then they had to, sit down at the checkbook and say, okay, this is how much that you've spent on all of these little luxuries of life, and now I'm going to spend that equivalent amount of money on a larger luxury of life. Worship has everything to do with God. It doesn't have anything to do with your masculinity. It simply says, God is worthy of all glory, all honor, all power, and all praise. And so when that king heard, send the worshipers out to the front line, I'm sure that they were quite taken aback, if you will, because worshipers don't tend to be warriors. I want you to know that you need to be prepared for the enemy to attack at any given point in time in your life. It's not just the pastor that is supposed to be the warriors. It's not just the intercessors that are supposed to be warriors. All of us are engaged in a spiritual firefight. We need to be walking in covenant, not convenience, because it is covenant people that God will say, the battle is not yours, it's mine. Another way that he could say that is this battle is ours because we are in this together. And so you see that there is a strategy that is involved, and that strategy is not always going to be the same thing. It's not always going to be the Gideon strategy where you reduce it down to 300 people. That would have seemed paradoxical when you're trying to conquer an invading force that you go into it with fewer people than you do with an abundance of people. But I will tell you, if you go into a firefight with the wrong crowd, what you have done is you've gone into a firefight with a bunch of inadequately trained targets. So you need to know what God's strategy is. And then you need to implement that strategy. And I put it that way. The Bible has a different word for it, and it calls it obedience. So when God says the battle belongs to him, you've got to know that there is enemies, and enemies use real fiery darts, and enemies still have a hostile attitude towards you, that they want to kill you, destroy you. Don't take it personal. It's just that they hate God, and every time they see you, you remind them of God. So you need to know, God, what's the strategy, and how do I implement it? How do I implement it? And in Jehoshaphat's case, that was, I want you to go and you position yourself. This is where the enemy is going to be. Let me read this passage to you. Let me start reading in verse number 13, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 13. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, and he said, listen. Okay, so you're getting ready to get the strategy. All of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, don't be afraid. So what's part of the strategy? Don't be afraid. The Bible says hundreds of times, fear not, do not be afraid, be strong, be of good courage. Do not be afraid, be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. Now I will tell you this. Not only does God have a strategy, the enemy has a strategy. God's plans will not be thwarted, but God's word, when it goes forth, is never going to miss its mark. God already knows what the devil is going to try and do before the devil ever does it. So we really do want to be walking in covenant relation with God. He said, you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. So we don't have to be afraid. You've got to position yourself right where I tell you. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Here's one more thing about the strategy. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Now, you've got to understand that if God tells them, do not fear or be dismayed, he says that at the beginning and the end, you can rest assured that the enemy that they're fighting is not just the army in front of them, but the emotions that are inside of them as well. So we have an external battle that we face. There is an internal battle that we face. Sometimes that has to do with our emotions, such as fear and discouragement. Other times it might have to do with the mind, where thoughts are running rampant in our mind. And if you're not careful, you can get caught in a loop pattern. When I was growing up, my parents had record players with vinyl records and a needle that somehow picked up the various signals off of the record and transmitted that electronically, and it made music. But there were grooves in the record. And if there was a scratch on the record, what would happen is it would rotate around the album, and then when it would get to that certain spot, then it would loop right back to where it was. And so it played the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And you'd have to go and you'd have to give it a little gentle nudge, or you'd have to pick the needle up and move it just a little bit and get it to a place where there wasn't a scratch that was causing it to get stuck in a loop. Fear can do that for you. So God says, this is what the strategy is. And verse number 18, and like I said on yesterday's program, the strategy is not always going to be the same. You know, we have traditionally had, still wait to see whether we get to have it this year or not, we've traditionally had a chili cook-off at our church for about the past 6 years or something like that. I don't remember. And last year there were some people who came to the chili cook-off and they really liked my chili. We don't tell people whose chili is whose. And they said, I want the recipe for your chili. And I said, there's a problem. And they said, what's that? And I said, I don't have a recipe. I just do it. And in all of the years that I've made the chili, I've never made it the same way twice. And so because they wanted it, then I went out and I made it at an off time, not during the chili cook-off. So now I have made chili for, I think, the six different chili cook-offs that we've had and two other times in my life. I'd never made chili before I made it for the chili cook-off. But they really liked it. And with a lot of recipes, you use the same ingredients to the same proportions at the same sequencing, and you get the same result. A lot of people like to treat their Christian life like that. Well, if I do this, and I do this, and I do this, I'm going to get the result that I want. With God, that is not always the case, because God is not looking to make a bowl of chili. He's looking to make you more than a conqueror. He's looking to build your faith and your trust in Him, and that means that you can trust Him on Sunday and on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You can trust Him every day of the week. You can trust Him at home. You can trust Him at work. You can trust Him at play. You can trust Him when you're young. You can trust Him when you're a child. You can trust Him when you're an adult. And you can trust Him when you're a senior adult. You can trust Him here on earth, and you can trust Him in heaven. He wants you to know that you can trust Him beyond your understanding. And so the strategy that He gives to us is designed to build our faith and confidence in Him, that whatever He says to do is going to turn out well. So His mother Mary turns to the servants when Jesus is at the wedding in Cana and says this, whatever He tells you to do, do it. Okay? Some of the greatest wisdom in all of the world, whatever He tells you to do, do it. Now, because we live in a spirit realm and don't get to have Jesus communicating with us face to face like they did in that day, we've got to be able to discern the spiritual voices, because sometimes the voice that we think is the voice of God is the voice of Bob or your voice, and it can lead us astray. And I will proclaim with some degree of certainty that many of the strategies that people have been implemented and they didn't turn out victoriously, and they thought they'd heard from God, that there's something in that strategy that wasn't from God, it was from them. Okay? And I know that's been the case with my life. Times I thought I heard from God and found out I missed it. There were other times that I heard from God, didn't think I heard from God, and found out, you know what? That was God. God didn't beat me up for that. He taught me, because whatever God says, that's what we need to do. So we need to be people who implement the strategy. In verse number 18, it says, in Jehoshaphat, the second Chronicles chapter 20, and Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, listen to this. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." It would be a really good message for America in 2020 if we would return to hearing from God instead of hearing from every new idea that comes down the pike. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Okay, there were a lot of military alliances that took place in biblical warfare. And one of the things that happened repeatedly is allies began to turn on one another and attack one another. And that's what God utilized at this point here. They forgot that they were supposed to be attacking one person or one group. They forgot they were attacking Judah, and they turned and they started attacking one another, and it ended up being the destruction of them all. You and I have got to implement God's strategy. God's strategy was implemented when the children of Judah were obedient and they started praising the Lord. Okay, so a lot of people go to school, they watch videos to gain information. But if that information that is gained is never implemented, then you're not going to get the result. You're not going to get the result that you thought you were going to get. All you've gotten is information. Okay? The battle isn't just so that we gain information. The battle is so that we gain victory. So whenever there are sporting teams that go into a contest, they always have a game plan. You know, I believe it was Mike Tyson, back when Mike Tyson was undefeated and striking fear into the heart of people, that he made a statement something like this: everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And then all of a sudden the plan goes out the window. Listen, God's plan is not going to fail. We have to implement it. If a sports team isn't implementing the plan, the coach will call timeout, bring everybody over and say, "Look, this is the plan. This will work. Let's focus on implementing and obeying the plan." Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. You will obey the things that I tell you." So I can tell you that there have been times where God said, "I want you to speak up." And I spoke up and it was successful. Those are not the most difficult times for me. One of the most difficult challenges was a season in my life where God said, "I want you to shut up. I don't want you to say anything to this person. I want you to walk with them through this process. And I want you to know that God is never wrong." God is never wrong. In this highly charged political season, I want to encourage you to be very guarded in the things that you say, because people are hearing with ears of offense instead of hearing for truth. And so there's a whole bunch of agitated people. You need to know, God, what is your strategy? If you're dealing with a health crisis, God, what is your strategy? Not what do I want? You know, I've never wanted to go to a doctor or have any of that. I've always wanted to be supernaturally healed. But there have been times where God's plan was, hey, this is the person. And in fact, it wasn't long after we started this program that I had to have a surgery. And so I went down and I met with the surgeon. I'd already been through physical therapy, and turns out that the person that I was meeting with was a listener to the radio program. And we ended up, you know, having a good relationship. In fact, he said, I've been trying to get my son to attend your church. They live in a different area and stuff like that. I will tell you, I'm not on the radio because I don't have anything to do. Believe me, the things that I have to work around in my schedule to make this radio program a reality are significant. I mean, it occupies a lot of my time and attention. But I am here because God gave a word back in the 1990s. That word was reaffirmed back almost 7 years ago. And in fact, my understanding of the word was expanded 7 years ago. I thought the word was done. I thought it had been fulfilled. And God said, it's not done yet. The first part of the word, we saw very little impact. But I can tell you this, God's never wrong. His strategy is never a failure. Implement the strategy, and it will make you a blessing. So I've had more people that have said that this program has been a blessing in the past 7 years than the total number of people that ever told me my ministry was a blessing in the years before that combined. And so we are very thankful for God's strategy. If you have not implemented what God has told you to do, I encourage you to step out in obedience today. Your breakthrough, the battle belonging to the Lord, the victory is right around the corner. Let's obey what God tells us to do. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.